The following podcast is a glimpse into the life of Ecclesia Houston. We pray it is a blessing as you seek to follow Jesus, the liberating King, and live in his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
Now, Ecclesia, if you have been joining us in this series, you will know that we are covering different parables within the Bible, more specifically, the parables that Jesus told. And when I was invited to speak in this series, I was given a list of parables. And right away, I knew which one I wanted to do. And that's the parable of the mustard seed. About 5 years ago, I had planned to do a sermon on the parable of the mustard seed. And I mass ordered mustard seeds from Amazon, as one does. And I thought, I'm going to put them in little bags and they can take them at the end of the service as a reminder. And I ordered way too many. And we had these huge boxes in our house filled with mustard seeds. And every month, my husband would say, can we please throw out the mustard seed boxes? And I'd say, no, I'm going to do this sermon someday. Well, we've moved since I hoarded those boxes. And I have to sadly report our move did not include those boxes. We ended up leaving them behind. But I thought, this is divine intervention. God is speaking to me, and he is telling me that the reason I can't give out mustard seeds is because I am the proud owner of a mustard seed costume of a sort. You see, my husband was spicy mustard for Halloween. So I thought, maybe I'm supposed to preach in this costume. And this is where you have to discern, Ecclesia, is this really the voice of the Holy Spirit? And I remembered this old adage that I was told in middle school by my teachers whenever we went on a field trip. They'd say, before you walk into that building, you are representing the McFarland Spartans. And just know, anything you do will be done in our name. And I thought, I cannot, in good conscience, preach in that costume when I represent Ecclesia. That is not fair. You do not deserve to become a meme on the internet. So I did, for the visual learners out there, bring this. If it helps you remember the parable of the mustard seed. Today we're going to read that parable. It's pretty short. It starts out in Matthew, and Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like, which, by the way, is how all of his parables in this series start, describing the kingdom of heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a sower took and planted in his field. Mustard seeds are minute, tiny, but the seeds grow into trees. Flocks of birds can come and build their nest in the mustard branches. Now, a lot of sermons on mustard seeds go something like this. It takes a little bit of faith to do really big things. No small act goes unnoticed. Sometimes you can just plant a tiny little seed of kindness and it can turn into something great. And I think that's an excellent theology. I love that sermon. In fact, I'm often reminded of that simple theology of the mustard seed when I think about one of my favorite theologians. You might know him. His name is Ryder. And Ryder from Paw Patrol, he has this saying. He says, no job is too big, no pup is too small. And we say that a lot in our house. Like when our house is a mess, which is 99.9% of the time, I'll say to my son, no job is too big, no pup is too small, let's clean. And I'll always say, Mom, don't say that. It embarrasses him. But I think it's true. If you substitute the word pup for faith, no job is too big, no faith is too small. I think it's true, actually. But what I learned in preparing for this sermon is that the mustard seed is much more scandalous than that simple interpretation. There is a lot more going on with the mustard seed. In fact, when you compare the theology of the parable of the mustard seed to the reading text for Palm Sunday, I think the theological similarities are almost identical. So we are going to read an excerpt from Palm Sunday today. Now, I want you to know that, as is often the case in the Bible, what we're going to read, a narration of Palm Sunday, there are many different versions of this parade and story, as is often true in the Bible. There's a Matthew version, a Mark version, even a Luke version. Today, I chose the Mark reading because it focuses heavily on the mission to steal the donkey, and that's just a good story, let's be honest. So, we're going to read Mark 11, verses 1 through 11, which is our reading today focused on Palm Sunday. It begins, "When they had gotten close to Jerusalem, near the two villages of Bethphage and Bethany and the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his followers ahead of them. Jesus said, 'Go to that village over there. As soon as you get into the town, you'll see a young colt tied that nobody has ever ridden.'" Now, what you need to know is this is a young donkey colt, which means it's actually the offspring of a donkey. It would be even smaller than an adult-sized donkey because it had never even been ridden before. Jesus says, "Untie it and bring it back to me. If anybody stops you and asks you what you're doing, just say the Lord needs it and he will send it back right after he's done." So imagine Jesus is walking with his friends. He tells two of them, "I need you to go steal a donkey for me. We'll give it back. Just tell them I sent you." And I have a feeling that some Ecclesia staff members can relate to these kind of missions. Like, sometimes in the moment, you're doing ridiculous things. And in hindsight, you can see that this was part of God's sacred story and mission. But at the time, it doesn't feel like holy sacred work. It turns out, Ecclesia, that choice of picking a donkey is so theologically significant that I can't think of a more sacred mission for Palm Sunday than securing that donkey. The story goes on. Everything happened just as Jesus had told them. They found the colt in the street tied near a door, and they untied it. Now the bystanders see them taking the donkey, right? And they're like, "What are you doing?" And they answer just as Jesus had instructed and were allowed to take it. So they brought the colt back to Jesus. They piled garments on its back to make a comfortable seat, and Jesus rode the animal towards Jerusalem. Now, here is when the Palm Sunday celebration begins, right? Jesus is on this tiny little donkey riding towards Jerusalem. And the next text. As they traveled, people cast their cloaks onto the road, and they spread out those leafy branches. Now, those leafy branches are the palms that you have in your hands today, which they had brought from the fields along the way. People walked ahead of them, and others followed. So I picture them just lollygagging in the streets around Jesus. People started to shout, "Hosanna! Rescue us now, Lord! Hosanna! Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Eternal One. And blessed is the kingdom of our father David, which draws closer to us today. Hosanna in the highest heavens." To the sound of this chanting, Jesus rode through the gates of Jerusalem and up the temple. He looked around and saw that evening was coming, so he and the 12 went back to Bethany to spend the night. So picture, Jesus is riding on this donkey. People are shouting, praising him as the one, "Hosanna in the highest." And what does that have to do with mustard? It turns out a lot. You could probably think of many reasons how these theologies overlap, but one way that I think Palm Sunday and the parable of the mustard seed relate is that mustard seeds require waiting. And so does Palm Sunday, acting as a seed to Holy Week and the resurrection. You see, Ecclesia, the Roman Empire seemed okay with Jesus when he quietly healed outcasts. They didn't like it so much when Jesus had a parade with followers praising him. They liked a Jesus that was quiet and unattached to his power. But Jesus, during this parade, it became clear that even in his humility, he was powerful. And so this parade was a seed for what is to come this week, which is his death and his resurrection. Not only does Palm Sunday act as this seed, but it will require a waiting that the people at the time might not have been aware of, but we know as readers that after this parade, Jesus will die and resurrect, and that this liturgical season requires a waiting for resurrection. The seed is an ultimate metaphor for what it means to wait. There are many things in our society that we can rush. Nature is not one of them. A seed and a garden are going to take their time. I was playing house with my son last week on spring break. And we waited almost a decade to have kids. So at the age of almost 36, crawling into little spaces at the park and going under bars, like I actually hurt my back playing with him. But he wanted me to lay down on the floor in this wooden box that we were in and play house, which means pretend that it's our house. So it's spring break, and I had an intention of being really present. I said, yes, I will lay on the floor and pretend to sleep in this wooden box. And he said, Mom, it's nighttime. Go to bed. And a couple seconds later, he said, wake up. It's light out. He said, we need food. And I said, you're right. Can you go to the grocery store? We need blueberries and chicken nuggets. And he's like, I got it. And he took two steps, and he came back. And he said, here you go. And I said, wow, Jet, you are so fast. And he looked at me kind of confused. And he said, Mom, the grocery store is at our doorstep. And I thought, you're right. That is how we do things in our house. Because we are not a patient people. We live in a culture where we don't have to practice patience much. In fact, I am so impatient. I'm the type of person when my friends are watching a reality TV show, I will watch the first two episodes and then I'll watch the last episode. Because I'm just like, I just need to know who ends up together. I don't like waiting. But so much of the Bible is a story of waiting. The story of a seed and the story of Palm Sunday are ones of waiting. Next, I think Palm Sunday is a lot like a mustard seed because mustard seeds symbolize an unexpected choice, just like the choice of a donkey. Now, during those times when there was a parade for a king, the rulers would choose a giant war horse. They would choose power over peace, strength over humility. They loved an animal that would put them high above all the other people. But Jesus chose an animal that would have put him at eye level with all the bystanders. And isn't that so like Jesus? To pick an animal that's not going to place him as better than anyone else. He's not better or lower, but he was a savior that did life with us, looking at us not from above, but from below. And so it was an unlikely choice, but it was such a Jesus choice. And what I learned on Wednesday night when researching mustard seeds, not from my seminary education, but on Wednesday night, mustard seeds are really complicated. In fact, this was also a very unlikely choice for Jesus to include in a parable. I tried to summarize this in my head, but I realized Shane Claiborne just writes this better than I can speak it. And so we're going to read what Shane has to say about the scandalous nature of choosing a mustard seed for this parable. In his book, Irresistible Revolution, Shane writes, "Yeast and mustard, both of which were known for their infectious spreading qualities, seem to be unlikely metaphors for God's kingdom. You see, Jews valued order and had very strict rules about how to keep a tidy garden. And one of the secrets was to keep out mustard. It was notorious for invading well-trimmed veggies and other plants and quickly taking over an entire garden. When first century peasants heard Jesus' images, they probably giggled, or maybe they told him to hush before he got himself killed for using this infamous plant to describe God's kingdom subtly taking over the world. Ecclesia, mustard seeds were the type of plant that Jews would have not liked. And isn't that so like Jesus, that when describing the kingdom of heaven and who is included, Jesus uses the one example that you don't want included? He does that all the time. With the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Samaritans were despised during that time. So of course he's going to use a Samaritan as the hero of the story, because Jesus was constantly drawing circles wider and wider, saying the kingdom of heaven is literally for everybody. Not also the people you don't like, but especially what you don't like. And he's symbolizing this with the mustard seed. Shane goes on to write, "Plenty of people had lofty expectations of the kingdom coming in spectacular triumph and were familiar with the prophet's well-known Cedars of Lebanon imagery, which described the kingdom as a giant redwood, the greatest of all trees. The Cedars of Lebanon as a metaphor for the kingdom would have brought some enthusiastic amens from the crowd and gotten some people dancing." So in the past, when people would use a metaphor to show how mighty a seed can become, they would use a great tree. They would use a Cedar of Lebanon because those trees were the mightiest, the biggest, like a war horse. But Jesus used the donkey of seeds. He ridiculed this triumphal expectation. After all, even mature mustard plants stand only a few feet high. Modest little bushes. Finally, Shane writes, and I think this is the most powerful part about a mustard seed. He said, "When mustard is crushed, its potency is released." And that's when we use this delicious paste on our hot dogs. So there goes Jesus spinning power on its head again. His power was not in crushing, but in being crushed, triumphing over the empire's sword with his cross. Ecclesia, every time I read power, his power was not in crushing, but in being crushed like a mustard seed, I get goosebumps. Because that is the story of Palm Sunday. It's a story that kicks off this Holy Week where Jesus is not going to show his power on a war horse, but on a cross. And it's this subversive, unexpected theology of the donkey and the mustard seed where we find the truth of what Scripture and theology is really trying to tell us about Jesus. Lastly, I think Palm Sunday and the mustard seed are similar because seeds and gardens take ecosystems of support. And so does the story of the parade. Right? I mean, a little seed, it's almost a perfect metaphor for us. Because it lives in this tension of needing things and nurturing in an ecosystem and sunshine and water. But there's also so much mystery in a seed. We don't know if it's going to make it. Not all seeds become trees. It's hard to predict the life of a seed. So much of its life is spent in a surrendering nature to the elements that it'll face and its destiny. In fact, I've heard it said that a seed could become a tree. It could shade somebody that you never meet if you plant it. Or it could become a piano, or a house, or an instrument. Right? There are so many things that the potential of a seed can come, and only God knows the end story. In the same way that the people at the parade did not know the story of resurrection to come. We do when we read it, but they had no idea. And parades also require a community of support. Have you ever seen a one-person parade? I actually have. I have permission to share a video, but let me preface it by first saying, do you remember in March of 2020, when the pandemic first was happening, and all these videos were being released of people in New York banging pots and pans and shaking their keys, celebrating the medical community as they would come off their shifts? Do you remember this? It was beautiful to watch. At that point, we were much like the people at the parade. We had no idea what the future was with this pandemic, right? We were like 20 days into it. We had no idea what was to come. And these videos went viral. They were beautiful. And my mom had the idea that in her suburban neighborhood, not located in the heart of a medical center, we should all go outside and bang pots and pans. And so she wrote with sidewalk chalk, "Sunday night, 7 o'clock, bring your pots and pans for the medical community." And as she told me later, the sprinkler system came on and washed away that chalk. So we were at Sunday dinner at my parents' house, and me and my husband and dad were looking out the window at my mom having a one-person parade for the medical community. And I have a video of that. After I took that video, my dad said, "Will you please go bring her inside?" I said, "I am not going out there." And the next Sunday, she did it again. And she said, "Will you please join me?" I said, "No, absolutely, hard no." And she went out there Sunday night, and this is what happened. Now, I have to tell you, Ecclesia, the second Sunday was so much better. We were all like, "Oh, she did it." I had no faith in this project, zero. And I have to tell you, parades are better with people in community. Holy Week is better in community. Palm Sunday, by definition, requires a community. And Jesus' death and resurrection are celebrated with each other, living into this story together. In fact, if on Easter Sunday we said, "He is risen," and there was nobody to respond, "He is risen indeed," it would be sad. And so these stories remind us that we are to be a people, not in isolation, but together. And we are also to be a people that are patient, living in the tension of what we can control around a seed and what we must surrender to God's greater plan. And that we are also to be a people that embraces the unexpected choice of a donkey and a mustard seed, because that is not just part of Jesus's theology, but it is central that the kingdom of heaven will include those that are often left out of it.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information, please visit our website at www.ecclesiahouston.org.